talking today with Dr. W.R. Peterson, MD, a member of the Washington University's School of Medicine class of 1926. Dr. Peterson, could you tell us something about your family and your early childhood?
Well, I grew up in a company lumber town up in the northwest near Seattle, Washington, and started working in lumber mills when I was 14 years old, and went to high school in Seattle and then University of Washington, Seattle.
Did you work summers or did you work after school?
Summers.
What was your father's occupation?
He came here as an immigrant from Sweden with the rest of my family and some of my brothers and sisters, and he started out as a laborer and worked up to be a foreman in the lumber mill.
I see. Well, some of your brothers and sisters were born in Sweden.
Yes.
How large was the family?
Six of us, three boys and three girls.
Was there a local grade school?
A local grade school, and being a typical lumber town, we had the local Native Indians and Japanese and Chinese. The students were quite a mixture in our grade school, and we didn't know what racism was in those days.
So there was no friction between different peoples there?
None at all.
What made you decide to go on to high school? It wasn't that altogether common, was it, in that day? Or did you just accept this as the normal course of events?
No, there's a fair number of especially Scandinavian descent went on to high school. And everybody wanted to get ahead a bit.
Had you decided, when did you decide you wanted to become a doctor?
I don't know.
You
was well into college.
You was into college.
I liked the biological sciences very much, and the more I got into chemistry, the more I liked that. But I wasn't any student. Not until I was in the college for a few years, I really ever do any studying.
Which college did you go to?
University of Washington
University
in Seattle.
Washington.
Incidentally, my records have been fouled up many times, having attended University of Washington for my college work, and I'm coming to Washington University Medical School for my medical education.
Yes, I'm sure that's happened. We get mail that's been misdirected from time to time. From them or to us. And so you were, did you take a pre-med course in college then?
Yes.
And made you, how did you choose Washington University as a medical school?
I think it was primarily through my advisor in college, Dr. Wooster, who was professor of anatomy at the University of Washington. I've been accepted at Northwestern University also, and Washington University, and he had formerly been a teacher at Michigan, University of Michigan, and he thought Washington University would be more desirable. He felt it was more active and a younger and more progressive medical school.
I see. I meant to ask you about some of your interests and activities outside of school in high school and college. Did you continue to work summers? And
I sure did. If I wanted to eat or get to school, I had to work because of the income of my father in a lumber mill and with a large family. We got along. We had a little ranch and had cows and chickens, but everyone was expected to work, and if you wanted to continue education, you had to get out and dig for it.
Did you pay then for your own medical school education?
Well, didn't borrow, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And of course you paid for that later.
Yes.
You did borrow. Could you tell us something about what medical education was like at Washington University when you were here? Well, I'm thinking of perhaps you could mention some of the teachers you had and tell us a little if you remember any anecdotes about some of them. Were there any teachers particularly at the medical school that impressed you?
Well, I always thought the faculty were very thorough and very fair and very stimulating, both in the basic sciences, especially Dr. Schaefer and his staff in physiological chemistry. And
did you have much contact with Dr. Schaefer?
No, except for his lectures.
He did lecture to you.
And then Dr. Erlanger in physiology.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on in the clinical side of it, of course, Dr. Graham, Albert Graham, was always stimulating and always made us question ourselves and mm-hmm. question him. And Dr. Ernie Sachs, a professor of neurosurgery, he was a great one. He really kept you on your toes mentally.
Mm-hmm.
And without embarrassing anyone or hurting anybody, it was stimulating.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any fellow students that you were particularly friends with at that time? Perhaps you were in a medical, were you in a medical fraternity?
Yes, it was a philo, I think was the name of it. And,
I see, uh-huh.
And Ed Helbing, a particular friend all through medical school, he was a local man. He'd grown up in St. Louis, and his father was a physician here.
Mm-hmm.
He was quite an athlete. He'd gone to the pre-med to Washington University here in St. Louis. He was, I think, captain of the swim team there.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill James, who'd grown up and had his college work down in Springfield, Missouri, was a particular friend. We mm-hmm. always enjoyed being around with each other.
Mm-hmm. Were the medical fraternities exclusive, exclusive societies, as we sometimes think of fraternities being today?
No, fraternities look like in college.
Mm-hmm.
It was primarily finding a place to live as uh-huh. cheaply as possible, uh-huh. sort of cooperative living.
See.
And
that was the main reason. That was an important reason then for joining a fraternity. They had residence halls at that time, didn't they?
Well, there was a dormitory in Forest Park Boulevard where I lived 1 or 2 years, but I didn't have a feeling that the fraternities were mm-hmm. exclusive at all. I doubt if we knew which one anybody belonged to.
That's an interesting point, that the use of, one of the advantages of a fraternity was to provide a warden room or a place where you could get it at a fairly reasonable cost. I hadn't thought of that, that aspect of it before. How would you say that medical education was different then from the way it is now? Have there been things you've noticed that have changed?
Well, I haven't been too much contact with medical schools now, although I was on the staff at the University of Pennsylvania Hospital for 25 or 30 years in the clinical end of it. But as I've seen it develop, I think they've gotten away from the basic sciences more and more, which I think is a mistake. Mm-hmm. I think if a physician doesn't have the fundamentals in anatomy and physiology and pathology, well, he doesn't have much to build on. But the field of medicine has become so extensive and so dependent on other fields of physics and chemistry and electricity and whatnot, it's near impossible to decide which is more important anymore.
Well, that is true. Did you find that there was a lot of competition and pressure to succeed in medical school? I believe they did have many more applicants than they admitted at that time.
Well, yeah, I guess there was competition. I don't know whether we really felt it or not. We mostly competition with ourselves to try to make the grade and make good. We were always wondering whether we passed or not, and wondering what we're going to do when we flunked out of medical school. But I guess it boiled down to competition with other students, but I didn't feel that way about it. It was mostly for competition for us against ourselves.
Did you continue to work in lumbering during the summers, or did you have other jobs?
I went up to the Northwest near Seattle and I home each summer for the first three summers, because we could I'd always get a job there since I played baseball and could always get on a company team, and we could get much better wages up there than we could down in this area. And as I look back, I think it's a wonderful thing from the health standpoint, is getting outdoors and physical labor, I think, is what kept me going this long.
Where did you take your internship?
I interned a year of resident, an externship in pathology here at the medical school. In the second year, I was on surgery in, at Barnes Hospital.
Who did you work with in pathology?
Dr. Loeb, L-O-E-B, was professor of pathology then. And Dr. Junkins was the assistant or associate professor at that time.
I see.
And Herbert and Eileen, I never regretted, but I had that year in pathology. Get a basic idea of correlating all the different diseases affect the body, affecting and correlating all the different organs and what how one was dependent and affected by every other organ in the body.
And in surgery, who did you work with?
Dr. Ewart Graham was a professor then, and that was a real stimulation. Dr. Womack was the chief resident in surgery, and he was really a pusher and really made us hustle, which was, I appreciate now.
What did you decide to do after this time, after your residency?
Well, I first worked for about a year and a half or 2 years for the Frisco Railroad.
I see. Was that, where was that?
They have a local hospital.
Oh, they were here. That was here.
And worked there. We lived in the hospital and were able to have private practice.
I see.
And I'd always been interested in orthopedics and was especially stimulated by Dr. Leroy Abbott, who is our professor of orthopedics here.
I see.
And I used to come over and work in the orthopedic clinic in any spare time. And after working for the railroad for a year and a half or 2 years, and seeing so many accident cases, and especially spine cases, I became more interested.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I got into orthopedic, see.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a residency at the New York Orthopedic, which is part of the Columbia Presbyterian Medical Center of New York.
So you became interested in orthopedics and then left St. Louis and went to New York. How did you happen to go to that particular place?
Well, Dr. Abbott and his associate, Dr. Keyes, who I discussed if we were ready to go for an orthopedic residency, they suggested the University of Michigan,
mm-hmm.
or the New York Orthopedic. And they said if you can get into the New York Orthopedic, by all means take that.
I see.
And working for a railroad, I had a railroad pass to travel around the country. And
mm-hmm.
amongst other places, I went up to New York and I was accepted there.
Mm-hmm. What type of work did you do during this residency?
Well, it was all branches of orthopedics. This was entirely orthopedic, and we were the house staff, and at that time there was a good deal, of course we had all congenital deformities. There wasn't much traumatic work at that time. Mostly congenital, and a good deal of tuberculosis of joints. And a good deal of deformities as a residual of poliomyelitis, which we rarely see, either TB or polio anymore. Mm-hmm. Deformities resulting from that.
Did you...
And also a good deal of osteomyelitis. And of course, since antibiotics came in the early 40s, that's a thing of the past, as well as TB.
Mm-hmm.
The joints.
Did you stay in New York for 1 year?
No, it was a two-year residency. At that time.
It sounds like you gained a lot of experience there in orthopedics. This was their specialty then.
Oh, yes, yes. And New York Orthopedic, like everything in New York, had a tremendous patient load. I think their outpatient department ran 30 or 40,000 patients a year just in the outpatient.
Mm-hmm.
We had to work in the clinic
mm-hmm.
every day, right?
Mm-hmm.
As well as in the operating room and on the floors for the mm-hmm. inpatients.
What did you decide to do next?
Well, the next thing was to get out and earn a living.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked the East Coast. I was hoping to come back to St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And when I left St. Louis to go up to New York for my residency, several of the orthopedic men who I knew here said when I finished my residency, they hope they come back to St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
When I was finishing my residency, I wrote to them, but that was in the depth of the Depression.
Mm-hmm.
And we never heard anything from these local orthopedic men.
Mm-hmm.
And but I liked the East Coast, and there was a request for an orthopedic man to assist an established orthopedic man in Trenton, New Jersey.
I see. Mm-hmm.
Which is only 60 miles south of New York City. So I went down to Trenton, and I was accepted there as an assistant,
mm-hmm.
and that's how I started there, and I felt it was an area I'd like to live in, and economically I thought it was very good, because being a state capital, regardless of the Depression, mm-hmm. there was always a great many people employed there.
Mm-hmm. Have you continued to in Trenton from this time or up until the present then? Are you still in practice now?
Yes, I do just office work now. I discontinued surgery about mm-hmm. 2 years ago, and after you hit
mm-hmm.
Your 70s, surgery isn't too easy, and now I just go to the office about 3 days a week and do just consultation work.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned earlier that you were associated, I believe you said that you're associated with the University of Pennsylvania.
Yes. When I went down to Trenton to practice, of course, there was not too much practice, and I felt I wanted to keep touching with the teaching institution. So I wouldn't forget what little I did know. And Trenton was only 30 miles, 30-40 minute drive from Philadelphia. So I went down to the University of Pennsylvania to see if I could work in the clinic there at the hospital. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Gill, who was a professor of orthopedics at the university at that time, Bruce Gill, he said, sure, come on in. And I guess he looked up my background or training, and he let me work there, and the clinic was some of the other young fellows mm-hmm. for a year or so, and then he appointed me on the staff, and I continued to work there for 25 or 30 years.
I see.
Did some surgery, but mm-hmm. it was mostly outpatient work. Mm-hmm. And that kept me in touch with the teaching institution and kept me busy.
You were on the clinical faculty then?
Yes, just as clinical staff, just as an instructor as all.
Have the techniques in orthopedics changed a lot over the years from when you studied out in Trenton?
The techniques, the surgical techniques haven't mm-hmm. changed too much. Still a question of how to handle tissues and sterility. The one thing that's added, of course, in the operating rooms is to have the clean air. Of course, the procedures are many different procedures now that we didn't have then, especially in these joint replacements, such as a total grip and mm-hmm. putting in artificial joints and that mm-hmm. sort of thing. Now, and even after I finished my residency, such a thing as treating of the fractured hip developed. I just began in 30 and 31 with the kneeling of hips started by Smith Peterson in Boston, mm-hmm. and that just developed in the early 30s. Mm-hmm. But now, of course, all these artificial joint replacements, it's much more extensive surgery. Mm-hmm. Just another field of surgery, and vascular surgery, and heart surgery, and so forth. Mm-hmm. Even lung surgery. As I remember, the Ewart Graham, I think, was the first one to excise the lung or part of the lung, mm-hmm. and that has become much more common now, and the survival rate is much better. Mm-hmm.
What was it when you were practicing full-time, what was a typical day like in your practice?
Well, it turned out to be mostly traumatic work, and that increased more and more. Mm-hmm. At first, it was some reconstructive work, but as automobiles have become more numerous and faster, and younger age groups driving by primarily traumatic surgery.
Did you usually operate in the morning and have office hours in the afternoon, or how was this done?
Well, we had office hours. Being a small city like Trenton, we had office hours afternoon and then a few evenings a week. Mm-hmm. And surgery in the morning usually, but with traumatic work, there was always emergencies, mm-hmm. and many times you were working at night.
Mm-hmm. So you were on call for working for emergencies?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Were you able to specialize in orthopedics from the very first in Trenton, or did you also have a general practice at the beginning?
No, orthopedics was just developing a specialty in the early 30s, and more so as a specialty, of course, had been started many years before, but especially after the First World War, it got an extra boost to be a specialty. But I never did anything but orthopedic surgery. And I passed my boards, and I didn't take them until, I think, in the late 30s, and got my certification in orthopedics.
What professional societies do you belong to?
The local and state medical societies in New Jersey, and that's Mercer County. Medical and the State Society, and then the AMA, and then the Academy of Orthopedic Surgery. That's the organization for certified orthopedic men, the national organization. And then the state, New Jersey State Orthopedic Society.
The Orthopedic Society certified. They had an examination and they certified orthopedists, is that correct?
Yes, it's like all specialties. After you've had your residency, if you want to become certified, you take examinations in your specialty. If you want to become certified, and then after you become certified, you can apply for membership in the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgery, but only if you're a certified orthopedic surgeon can you apply for membership.
Mm-hmm. What state licenses did you hold? I suppose you started out with the Missouri license?
Yes, one of the local license here in Missouri, and then having grown up out west, I applied and got a State of Washington medical license.
I see. Mm-hmm.
And then when I went to New Jersey, I got New Jersey State medical license, and then working at the University Hospital in Philadelphia, I obtained a State of Pennsylvania medical license.
Have you had time to attend many national or international meetings in orthopedics?
Yes, for many years I used to go to a national orthopedic meeting, the American Academy of Orthopedics, and then a few of the AMA meetings, and then a state orthopedic society meetings, which met once or twice a year. And I've been to a few international meetings in orthopedics.
Did you have time to do much writing in the field?
I've never done any writing, which I expect I should have, but I'm not articulate.
You had a large practice to handle. Another question that I usually ask is what your philosophy is as a physician, and what is your attitude towards medicine and patients, the treatment of patients.
Well, I feel everybody should be treated regardless of economic situation, and if they can pay for it, fine, and if they can't, well, it's all right too. And unfortunately, the way things are now, a tremendous amount of work we did at that time, the government feels we did as charity work, and the government feels they want to take care of it now through Medicaid and other things, which I think unnecessary, and I feel doctors still glad to do it. What that you have in mind about it?
Well, that's I think that's a good answer. That's interesting.
When the people came to a office or hospital, or never a question of whether they're paying or not, mm-hmm. and
so they were admitted whether or not they could pay.
Sure, and they were always taken care of regardless, and then later we went into their economic situation as to mm-hmm. whether they were able to pay or not.
Mm-hmm. Did you, in the nature of orthopedics, did you have many long-term patients, or was it specific?
Fair number of them, of course, were long-term in comparison with general surgery, or for instance, some fractures take a minimum of 6 months to heal, and then there's a follow-up, and later physiotherapy after that, and also in the earlier days of the tuberculosis, when the joints, especially spine and hip, was a situation where they had to be watched and cared for many years. Before the time, the streptomycin and the other antibiotics that we use now.
Mm-hmm. So some things have caused the problem, some of the problems are no longer need to be corrected because they're cured in other ways. To ask a little bit about your personal life, where did you meet your wife? Was that in St. Louis?
No, that was just in the last few years.
I see. Do you have any other comments that you'd like to make about orthopedics or about your career?
The only comment at present would be to the more research is done, the better, to extend the field or improve the treatment of patients or to solve some of the medical problems. And the more research, the better or quicker we'll be able to treat patients better and relieve patients better. As far as that's from the medical standpoint.
We hear a lot today about the high cost of malpractice insurance. Have you had this problem also? In one of our other interviews, I think it was yesterday, the doctor said that the high cost had prevented him from from practicing part-time. Do you run into this problem, or is the consultation basis take care of this?
To some extent, in New Jersey, the malpractice insurance is a problem, as everywhere else, mm-hmm. and especially in such fields of surgery as orthopedics. Mm-hmm. I stopped doing surgery maybe a year or two earlier than I would have because of the high malpractice charges. The malpractice rate for just office practice and consultation work is not very much. I think I pay only about $1,500 a year, which is peanuts today. And I wouldn't be able to, wouldn't want to do any more surgery anyway, regardless of surgery and the kind of my age. Physically, you just can't do it. Mm-hmm. Or shouldn't be allowed to after 70.
Is there anything, other comments that you would like to make about the medical school or about your career in orthopedics?
Well, I've always felt fortunate that I had been accepted in the Washington University Medical School and had never been ashamed of it in New York or any other part of the country. And I was very proud that I was from, had graduated from this medical school. And also my training since having graduated. Economically, unfortunately now, these boys finishing their training that don't know what it is to have to work for a living. They can go out from a residency and they get in with a, or join a medical group or get a physician at $30,000 or $40,000 a year, which of course they aren't worth because they're inexperienced and have no judgment, which of course they don't believe. But that's part of the entire national picture, the economic situation, and I don't know what it is to have to really get out or be hungry and have to work for a living. You know?
Well, thank you very much for agreeing to give this interview to us today.